believe the children are our future. Teach them well and let them lead the way. Show them all the beauty they possess inside. Give them a sense of pride to make it easier. Let the children laugh. Everybody's searching for a hero. People need someone to look up to. I never found anyone who fulfilled my needs. A lonely place to be. And so I learned to depend on me.
Everybody, no more backwards thinking, times of thinking ahead. The children are our future. Teach them well and let them lead the way. The children are our future. Teach them well and let them lead the way. Welcome, welcome, listeners all around this beautiful world to Bring Back the Family. I am your host, Kathy Clyburn, and I am so happy and glad you chose to tune in to Bring Back the Family, Focus on Youth. If we don't help our youth now, we will be victims of not helping later. If you don't help our youth now, we will be victims of not helping later. Keep that in mind. First, we want to acknowledge God with a scripture, and then, hey, we will get right to it. All right? And we'll be reading Romans 12, 1 through 13. That is Romans 12, 1 through 13, a living sacrifice to God, a living sacrifice to God. What does that mean? And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, a kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourself, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take that responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his great and mighty word. Okay? Hey, do you want to know what Bring Back the Family is all about? But you never ask. Okay? So, Bring Back the Family is a show that is designed to bring awareness to what we need to do for our youth in order for them to be good, productive citizens, so that our youth can contribute and be a contribution to society and others all around this world, okay? And all they need is some help. And guess where that help comes from? That help comes from me and from you, okay? We have to show them how. Somebody showed us, and so we have to show them. We have to show them how to make it because somebody made a way and paved the way for us to make it, okay? And, you know, we have a plan on how we're going to do this, how we're going to keep the awareness out there and how we're going to help because, like I said, the help comes from you and from me, okay? So how do we propose to help? How do we propose to give our youth what they need to make it? We propose to do this block by block. Do something on your block. Do something on your block to help your youth or to help our youth get what it is that they need to make it. And, you know, it is just simply giving back. Simply giving back. Caring, sharing, having some concern, having a good conversation, sharing a story, giving out a book, workbooks, just encouraging, being an encouragement, taking them on outings, getting to know your neighbors, and and just getting to know the, your families and your children on your block. And that's what Bring Back the Family is about. And that's what we propose. You know, I need to just take one moment and introduce our host today, our co-host. And so we have representing our youth today is our co-host, King Jacob Ribron. Okay? And Jacob Ribron is a student at Ecourse High School. And guess what? He's an A-plus student. Okay? Isn't that refreshing? Then we have the ever-lovely Jocelyn Vandegrift. Yes, and she is part of the Bring Back the Family family, and she helps do so many things. She helps with the tutoring. She gives good educational advice, and she's really a good person to go to for just education and resources and things like that. Just lovely. And then we have the beautiful Rebecca Johnson. And, you know, Rebecca is Rebecca's here. Hi, Rebecca. Yeah. Rebecca is here. You know, Rebecca was attending. She's with us, but she's not with us live today because she is attending to her her brother that was in a car accident in Toledo, Ohio, and she is attending to him. And we'll miss her today, but we have to carry on because she is a just, you know, our ever beautiful Rebecca Johnson. And so if she wants to say something, she can during the show. If not, then just listen. And, you know, we're praying for you. We're praying for your brother and your family, and wish him a speedy recovery. Okay?
Thank you so much. And, I'm in the car, though. I'm in the car on the way back, but I think the sound quality is not great.
Okay. Well, whenever you get home and you join us, come on in. But get some rest, though. But we have you in our hearts, and we're thinking about you. Drive safely.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I will.
Okay. All right. Okay, and then we have our dynamic, awesome, the bring up the rear pastor, awesome pastoral that's gonna come to us and just close us out, give us good word, and you know, he's just our awesome pastoral. Yes. And so we're going to get started. Okay. So, yeah, and that's what brings back the family. That's our crew for today. And these are our co-hosts, and these are the ones that put a lot of work in bringing all the information and the resources that we need to inform and keep our parents and keep our children and keep our youth and everybody informed of what's going on, because that's what it is all about. It's about resources. It's about information. It's about jobs, jobs now, jobs later, and in the future, and how we need to prepare our youth for, you know, for adulthood. We can't wait till they're close to adults. We got this early. We have to start early. We have to give them something to hope for. We have to communicate with them and ask them what it is that they want to do, you know. Pay attention to them and find out exactly what their gifts are. And, you know, we need it's a lot of careers out there, and we need people to do them. So, and the careers and the jobs and everything out there is for our kids, too. And so we should not hold back. We should know that they need to be able to take care of themselves one day and be good, productive citizens. They need to be able to purchase things and purchase a home, purchase a car, clothes, food, shelter, and save money. So for retirement. They need to know all of those things, because all of those things are what's going to keep them on the straight and narrow. Because if they don't have what they need, they're going to go somewhere and get it. So today, I talked to a schoolmate of mine, and we talked for hours. And then I spoke to one of my older brothers, and we both had just like some real good, very good conversations about what's going on in the world. And everybody has the same concerns. You know, they're talking about our children and our youth and what's going on, what can we do, what happened, how do we think it happened, you know. And we all had, you know, ideas of what we thought happened and things that we've seen. And when you're working in the industry with kids and the youth, and you get to see a whole bunch of what's going on and the way they think and, what they have and what they haven't and what they haven't been told. In our conversations today, we went back and we always end up going back and reminiscing about the way we were raised and how good, our parents, gave us what we needed, to be able to get where we need to go, get to the next step, or go to another level. We just talked about what our parents did and how we just stayed busy and how we shared and cared and loved one another. And that love is still there. When I saw my friend, we embraced. We were just very happy to see one another. And we just, went down memory lane and just really talked about the community and what was going on. And one thing we talked about is where did the love go? because that's what we had. We had lots of love. We just seeing a lot of coldness, no communication. When we pass a person or elderly person or anybody, you go past, you see them, you're going to speak and you're going to say hello. And how we used to just go by in the car and wave out the window and speak and acknowledge whoever that we saw. Mm-hmm. And so we just wonder how we're going to fix the problem. How, everybody's wondering, everybody's talking about the same thing. How are we going to fix this? Nobody's going to church anymore. We're not taking our kids to church. We're not giving them, the word, reading the Bible, making them read the Bible, even talking to them about love and kindness and the things that are in the Bible. Because I remember my mom always talking about being kind to people, and I knew that she read it because all the things that she said are in there, love and kindness. And so we're dropping the ball. The ball has been dropped. We could pick it up. We could pick it up. We just told you what Bring Back the Family is about and what you could do on your block to make things better. And like I said, I talk to kids all the time, and it lets me know what it is that we're not doing in our homes for our kids. It lets me know when I ask them certain questions. And so I was talking to a teenager the other day, and I asked them, I said, okay, what are your plans? What college are you going to go to? What are you going to study? What are you going to do? What are you going to do with your life, And he said he was going to have fun. And he had no thoughts about going to school or furthering his education or even getting a job. And so by the time I finished talking to him and letting him know his role, and I was overwhelmed that he just didn't, nobody talked to him about anything about life as far as what his responsibilities are of growing up and what was expected of him. Get a job. Go to school, get some training, But he had no idea about life, period. But he thought about going to get a gun. Thought that's the first thing that, you know, was on his mind, a gun. And he said, having fun. So look what, you know, if we're not teaching about guns, somebody's teaching them about it, about guns. And so that lets you know that they're not being taught at home at all. It's no conversation about school, none. No conversation about your grades. No conversation about work. No conversation about a job. No conversation about getting your own business. Nothing. And these careers and all these careers that we're going to talk about today are for our kids. They're for us, okay? And I asked my brother, I say, did, because he was the only one in the family that went to college. So I thought about it. I said, what? And I asked him, I said, why were you the only one that went to college? How did that happen? What made it happen? Was it you? Was it, you know, did we hear about college in our home? You know, did our parents push us, encourage us to go to school, go to college, further our education? And he said no, and I agree, because I never heard that come from our parents to get a job. Mostly they worked on our behavior, treating people kind and being good people and not getting in trouble. That's what they worked on. And so I asked them, how did you go to school? How did this happen for you? And he said that someone called and inquired. They inquired about him going to school. I guess maybe he said he had the grades, and someone inquired, and then they helped him with the financial aid. And he said it was rough, and it was, you know, hard. He said because it was hard to, you know, keep getting the financial aid, but he ended up finishing. And we talked about a whole lot of things too, but and I just wondered, he said that he had the desire to go. He said, and I said, okay, if he hadn't called you, what would you did? He said, I don't know. I probably would have just got a job. So, but he didn't even have the notion of, or the know-how, anything to even think about, you know, getting a career or going to college. He knew that he was probably supposed to, just like us, like me. I said, well, I know I'm supposed to go to school after high school, you know, okay, but what am I supposed to do? So think about that when we, you know, think about our kids, is that we have to tell them. What you don't put in them, they won't know. They won't know anything. If we don't put anything in, even when they're little, as babies, when you read to them, you know, they won't know to read if you don't read to them. So we have to do these things early. And we have to talk about school. We have to talk about college. We have to talk about a job. We have to talk about a career. Talk about how smart they are. We have to talk about, just encourage them, and just let them know that it's a step to this. You know, it's steps to this. And at the age that, you know, from 0 to 5, you're in kindergarten, you're doing this. You're teaching them how to behave. You're teaching them, you know, certain things, and then from 6 to 10 or 6 to whatever age, or 6 to 8, you know, you're in another category, second or third grade. And so there are allotted things at those allotted times. And we have a lot of young men that I had a lot of conversation today, so I'm kind of full. And I talked to another young man, and I asked him, because he was kind of hanging around too much. I was like, do you have a job, you know? And he said, well, no, I just lost my job because something happened, you know, little argument between him and another employee, and they got rid of him instead of the other person. And he thought it was a little racist or what system going on. And so I said, see, that's why you have to have what you need. And when you get what you need, can't nobody take that from you. You go get you a skill. You go get you some education. Can't nobody take those things from you. You always have them. So, okay, so I asked him some more questions. Do you have a license? Do you have a license? No, I don't. No, I don't, ma'am. Okay, why not? I got some tickets. I say, well, how did you get tickets and don't have a license? Okay, so you're driving without license. So you're getting tickets before you even get licensed. And so that's another strike against you. What can you do without a license? Where can you go? It's just a stop sign in front of you that's stopping you from getting where you need to be, okay? And then you're still driving. You're still driving, and so if they pull you over again, you might be going to jail, and that's going to be something on your record, and that's more money that you're going to have to be paying out and trying to get money for that you don't even have a job to even pay, okay? So we have to inform our kids, and it's a time that you drive. I had to tell a young man the other day, it's a time that you drive. It's a time for that. It's a time period for that. So once you go through your driver's training, it's something that you have to do. You have to follow the steps. You go through driver's training at a certain age, 14, 16, to 14 to 18. You get driver's training. You get your permit. You drive with an adult. And then you get your license. Do what's allotted for you at that time and not before. Because if you do it before, you put the cart before the horse, then look at all that can happen to you. It's a stop sign for you, and you can't go any further until you fix all of that, until you fix it. And so where is he going? Where is he going? So did you graduate? No, you don't have this high school diploma or anything, so that's another strike against you. You know, you need these things in order to go forward, you know, and there's so many young men like this. Now, they could go out and get a gun, but they can't go out and get the things that they need, you know, that they really need, okay? And so we have to tell our young men and try to help them in that way to just kind of slow down and lead and guide them in the way that they should go with the way that their life should go. We can't let them just get in trouble and then, you know, try to help them. We got to help them before and let them know A, B, C, D, E, this is how you do this. This is how life goes. Okay, you do this first and then do this. Give them a guide or they'll make their own decisions or somebody in the streets will make some decisions for them. Okay, so, wow. So that's it. That's, yeah. And so we just have to tell them. We have to inform them. There's no communication going on anymore. Everybody is on the phones, and they're on the phones, and the phones have us hypnotized, and that's their world now. And so, but we have to inform them. We have to start a conversation with these young folks so that they know that we need them, that they're needed, and that they have work to do, that they have a place in this world and in this life. They have a place and things that they have to do in order to get where they need to get, okay? Or else, if we don't help them now, if we don't tell them now, if we don't give them anything, we are going to be the victims for not doing all of that. We'll be the victim. And it's so much more. I could tell you about this juvenile system that they're closing all of these state facilities that's holding these kids hostage, you know, for doing juvenile things. And now they're putting them out in the streets, sending them back home to their parents where the parents can't handle them because that's why they gave them to them. And now the systems don't want them, and they're putting them back in the community and putting them back with their parents. And now that's more that they have not been taught, and they're just putting them back out there. And so they're going to be in the street. So we have a lot of work to do. We have to get out of these houses, get on our blocks, and try to talk to these kids and reel them in before it gets to be, you know, just tragedy and chaos all over the world, all over going on. It's just going to be tripled. Yeah, so it's a lot going on. And we need to be praying and working at the same time. Okay? So without further ado, we're going to go on and talk about Brenda and Miss Jackie. Hey, everybody. Brenda and Miss Jackie, and we have Jacob. And we're going to just, I'm going to get me some water, and we're going to just let them go ahead on and do that thing. Okay, hey, Miss Jackie.
Hi there. How are you? Hello, everybody that's listening. And, you know, it's amazing, Miss Kathy, that you brought up certain items about the situation, how the young man lost his job. And that's why we want Jacob to talk about what they call soft skills. And these soft skills are the skills, and he will share that with you, that companies are looking for soft skills before they're looking for skilled people. Because if you possess all of these packages, these emotions that make you balanced, they can teach you how to do the job. But if you don't come in there with these skills already, then there will be fights on the job, physical fights. So, Jacob, would you like to talk to us about the first soft skill that's very important on the job?
The first soft skill is emotional intelligence. Emotional intelligence is also known as your EQ, and it's like the simple ability to control and express your emotions as well as understand and shape your emotions of others, whether you're communicating with coworkers, customers, clients, or some degree of emotional intelligence. Because soft skills is basically time management, networking, creative thinking, conflict resolution, and teamwork. So it's like, imagine if your manager didn't possess an ounce of emotional intelligence. They wouldn't be able to effectively communicate with you, or you wouldn't understand why you need to work from home one day, and you wouldn't be able to manage your stress. It's basically just like the way you communicate.
And that's true. And when we talk about, like in the school system, you know, they have no tolerance for fighting in the schools. That's the same way that behavior stems over into adulthood when a person hasn't take control of their emotions at a younger age. There's always some kind of conflict on the job. So employers want somebody with not only a high IQ, but they want somebody with a high EQ, saying that that person is balanced. That person is not too proud to walk away from a situation, because if you're having an argument and you feel you're right and I feel I'm right, who do you think the winner is, Jacob?
I know, right? The person that can already walk away.
That's right. Nobody's the winner, because guess what? I wasn't able to convince you. I didn't have negotiation skills to convince you to sway you my way. And you did not have the same thing. So there's two people walking away. That's very hostile. This here is one of the top things that employers are looking at the interviews today. And, you know, when we talk about that, we're talking about anybody from the working age all the way to retirement. EQ skills can make or break you. And we have seen people lose their retirement pension because they lost their jobs, because they did not have their EQ in check. Okay, now, Jacob, so now we're going to move on to the next soft skills that employers are looking at. What is number two?
Creative problems. Because robots can't tap in and understand human psychology like other humans can, they won't be able to creatively problem solve like product designers, advertising, and marketers have to. Think about, say you create a Facebook ad, but people aren't engaged with it. Will a computer be able to effectively theorize why and pose a solution? They might be able to plug into some formula and adjust the ad, but that doesn't always work. Oftentimes, with understanding your audience inside your page.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense. So now if we were explaining that to our listening audience, we're saying that even though the artificial intelligence are so great, but it's also saying that there are some things it cannot do. And you explained that with some of the reasoning's problem of solving issues in the marketing field. They do not know how to have those type of emotions. And I think last week, Ms. Rebecca, she spoke in detail on that issue alone. So now the third thing, management, both technological and human. What is that about, Jacob?
Many companies already use software and artificial intelligence programs to manage their employees' products or services. Implementing these tools allow employees to bypass mental tests instead and focus on important work. So technical automation has already started taking over many workplaces. You don't need humans to mind it. Here's an example. If your company's accountant or bookkeeper probably uses a program to track income and expenses, but what happens when that program crashes? There's a payment. Do you bring in another software or automated process? No, you need a human to take that mistake and use those problem-solving skills to correct it. When it comes to managing employees, computers and automation simply can't replace humans.
And that makes a lot of sense because, you know, it goes back to the old-fashioned way. You hardly don't see that today. This is way before your time. We had to know our addition, subtraction, a multiplication, and division by heart. We had to count money faster than they could ring it up at the grocery store. Today, with technology, they already have figured it out what your total is before you even leave your house or if you order from home. Somebody else, robots can't take the place of people going in there, well, in some sense, but doing grocery shopping for you and delivering that food. So, yes, that is so true. But now our next number four is so very important. Could you tell us why, Jacob, and what are we talking about?
Communication. Sure, you've seen robots communicate with each other. And even humans, but they still can't totally replace humans, both intentionally within a company and externally to customers. Think about those days you work from home or communicate with coworkers exclusively through your company's messenger system. It works just fine, but it's not effective. It's face-to-face or video-to-video. Interactions,
okay.
And that's just internally. What about communicating with your audience outside the company? When talking to about communication skills, also is important to consider nonverbal communication skills. These are often just as important as your verbal skills.
Okay. Now, well, in conclusion, will robots take my job? And this is something that a lot of people are concerned about because they put the fear in there. But could you talk to us about some of the things that, like, when you talk to, I believe you talk to Siri. Is that Siri you talk to?
Yes.
Okay. So how does Siri work? Because that's artificial intelligence.
It's just hooked up to the internet.
Okay. So, but if you want something, what do you do?
You can just ask Siri.
So if your listening audience did not know how to hook or download a series to the internet and how it works, what would you tell them?
It's already built in. It's just series is basically just asking questions that you want to know this, or having to do something.
Okay. So most of the time, Siri is what, right on point? The artificial intelligence has scheduled everything into Siri. Am I correct?
Yeah, if it kind of understand what you're saying, yeah.
Okay, because you know what? One of the things that last week Pastor O stated that when him and his wife travel, they always print out the map. And the reason he said he did that because he did not want his brain depending on a computer, and he lose that ability to travel, because if the MapQuest or Google fails, then he would not know how to get from place point A to point B. Do that make sense in your generation?
Yes.
Okay, what makes sense about it?
It makes sense not having to rely on the internet, but knowing how to do it on hand in person.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. And I thank you so much for your input on this soft skills, because it lets our audience know that these skills, and someone said that she had a family business and that she could teach anybody. In 30 days, if you do the same thing over and over, you're going to learn it. Am I correct?
Yes.
But if you're unteachable and have an attitude, you will cause that person to lose money because they got to stop and try to correct an adult's attitude. So as we speak about this, we can kind of understand how somebody feels that a person is so articulate, have all the degrees, come in there spot on, but they have a bad attitude and a low EQ, and the company says, I can't hire that person. Now, that's a bad feeling. So that goes back to say when the young man lost his job because he was fighting on the job. Well, when they evaluated it, it could be variable reasons why they let him go and not the other one. But whoever was the more aggressive one is usually the one that they let go. But now, Jacob, you have something that you want to share with us. And so many people have been asking Miss Kathy about this. And one of those is the drone program. Can you tell us a little bit about that and how it works? And I found out something today that how much the license costs, but it's well worth it. Can you talk to us about that? Are you prepared to do that now, or you want to come in later?
I can do it now.
Okay, thank you. Take it away.
Being a drone pilot is not hard. Becoming a drone pilot is a very fairly simple process. All it requires is that you are 16 years of age or older, and you are proficient in English FFA Part 107 exams. Attending your FFA drone pilot license usually takes 4 to 6 weeks from start to finish.
Okay.
You have something to say?
Yeah, I wanted to know that who's the drone pilot is certified through by who?
It's certified by the FFA, and the drone pilot license is valid for 10 years.
Oh, great! So once you get your license, it'll be good for 10 years. Now, do that license, since it's federal, it requires a federal background check. Am I correct?
I believe so.
Okay. And how much does it cost to go to school? So you say for 4 to 6 weeks to take that test?
Yeah.
It costs $175 to take the test. Am I correct?
Yes.
And some schools do provide drone classes, but we don't know how much because this is readily new. But I see over here in some of your notes, now on the second page, You were saying here the U.S. Air Force, they pay drone pilots starting off at what? Do you see that? I'll take it on with you and go talk about the test before you get that. We want to study as many questions as possible because you have 120 minutes to complete the test. The minimum passing score is 70%, which is a maximum of 18 questions wrong or a minimum of 42 questions right. So it's not a very long test. But it's a detailed test, and you have to at least get 42 questions right. Okay. Now, did you see down under there where on page 2, the U.S. Air Force? Are you with me?
You said we're not.
Okay.
You said
not. U.S. Air Force pilots, how much do they make? A year.
It's like a yearly play, usually $61,496. But
okay.
It also says the salary is between $7,000 and a raise going between $800 and $1,200 for a single day.
Right. That's somebody that's working probably for themselves. A drone pilot makes good money from $800 to $1,200 a single day for the highest earners with the drone. Okay, that sounds good. But now on your last page, they were giving some annual salaries. I guess they use a drone for the vice president's drone. I guess their drone covers any area before they go anywhere. And that annual salary is what?
The annual salary for that is $141,331.
Okay. And a drone pilot makes what?
$110,580. And a managed drone is at $108,000. And a pilot travel is at $102,000.
Now, okay, as you go down farther, now where are drones, what is the demand for drones?
The demand is in the film industry, real estate firms, tourist resorts, and education institutes. They are using drones for videos. It is a sunrise industry that meets varied demand, and commercial drones are supported many enterprises in the fields of land mapping, space, and agriculture, and many more.
So, now, if someone wanted to add on to their career, they could, even though they're working in the fields that they're working, I think, what do you think? Do you think it would be good for somebody to tack on, get that skill, get that license, and have it as a backup? Because they also use drones when there's catastrophic situations, earthquakes, floods, buildings that collapse, bridges that collapse, do assessments, do audit surveys. So there's a lot of need for the drones. And right now they do not have a lot of drone operators. So our listening audience, if we find out where there are some drone classes, we will share that information with you. Thank you, Jacob. I appreciate you brought us a lot of information. Do you have any parting words that you might want to share with us?
No, that's everything.
Okay. And we thank you. As one of our co-hosts, our youth co-hosts, we have our young people coming in from, we got the senior youth, senior young adults, and we are going to have the youth host that will be working with us in the future. Miss Kathy has some great things put together for her cat's kids. Okay. Well, thank you, Jacob. And stay on the line with us because we have some more things you might be interested in.
Yes. Thank you, Jacob. Yeah, that's how you
Yeah, thank you, Jacob. And that's how you train up a child. You let them get in and, you know, get their feet wet and just practice and just do it. That's the only way that they will be able to learn by letting them try it. That's what when we were at my church was Pastor at Mount Zion at Pastor Barlow. He gave the youth opportunities to have their own service, and they ran the whole service, and that made them gave them an opportunity to be able to know how to speak publicly and in front of people and not be afraid or scared. And so a lot of those kids have gone on to college and have gone on to do great things. They had a really good education program. A lot of the parents were very involved in helping the youth get in college and just do tutoring and different things to give them what they needed to make it while they were in church. So church is good, and church should be a part of your kids' life and their growing, because, you know, it just makes them well-rounded, because they're going to get out in the world and people are going to teach them all kind of things. And so they will be able to have their own religion, their own teaching that they've had, that they have, that they can hold on to, so that they won't be discouraged or lured into other things that will get, you know, take them off track. So yes. Yeah. And so if you want to have a word to say, you're welcome to jump in and you know, press one if you have a comment or something you want to say or question. Okay, carry on, Miss Jackie. What we have next?
Thank you, Miss Kathy. Now, I know that you, well, one position that is dear to Miss Kathy's heart, because she had such a difficult time trying to get an x-ray. She went there downtown to the medical center and a few times and paid parking and did that little nice little long walk early in the morning after she got off from work. And they did not have an x-ray technician.
Yeah.
And she was so discouraged. So that's one of the positions that we looked up, the x-ray technician. And when we say x-ray technician, the MRI technician, the occupational therapist, all of those technicians fall in place. So we said, well, let's see what their income is like. And this is without
Without overtime.
Without overtime. They're making $63,710. But with an associate's degree, that's what a 1 year, okay? With an associate's degree, they're from, started out at 58,701 to 71,101. Now that's without overtime. Okay? So what we're saying, you can become a certified technician with 1 year, or you can become a licensed technician with a 2 year associate's degree. So what we're saying here is that for a minute, we're saying that we have to sacrifice for these positions, because there are a lot of things that are out there. And, you know, I look at my coach, 32 years old, and at 19 years old, because he sacrificed, he had an income of $100,000. Well, he's well above that level now, and he's 32 years old, and I am so proud of him. And that is the position that he has, is without a college degree. But he had to sacrifice and get
license. So you, even though these positions are available and AI is not going to touch those positions, you have to be qualified.
Mm-hmm.
And everything we do, we have to be able to be teamwork, team players, work with people, get along with people, because we're not, somebody said this, you're not a general on your own hour. So if you don't have any trust.
That's true.
You know.
That's so true.
Is that the
jagged,
that's
so true. Yes, I just pulled out the driveway. I made it without incident, and I've been listening, and I have a few comments.
Okay,
so
I'll take it over.
All right, so on the soft skills, that's such a good subject, and I was happy to hear you talking about the no tolerance for fighting. So the minute you put hands on someone at your job, that's the same minute that you lost your job. So, and also about the attitude, if you have a job, it's important for you to maintain an even temperament the whole time that you're working. And it will help for you to also have this even temperament even when you're not working. But it made me think of Proverbs 20:3. Avoiding a fight is a mark of honor. Only fools insist on arguing.
Hmm.
So I'm glad I was able to come in
mm-hmm.
and insert that little scripture. And also, I'm interested in becoming a drone operator. That sounds like a good side hustle. And you know what? I would love to do that.
And you know what? One of the things was, Miss Rebecca, we were discussing, we was on a three-way conversation, you, myself, and Miss Kathy,
mm-hmm.
and
oh,
we
yes.
were discussing who would be affected. And if you're not retired or not close to retiring, you are going to be affected some kind of way. And so
absolutely.
to say that, Miss Rebecca, is to say that you want that security. You know, it's almost like that skilled tradesman when they tighten that wrench, take that wrench in, or that mechanic and lock that bolt in. They're locking it in so when there's friction with that car moving, that bolt won't come off. And when you said
yes.
that, I want to be, I'm interested in that drone position. Those are the things that we're talking about, because guess what? It's unlimited.
Mm-hmm.
We need every state in this country. So that is a good subject to find out, and I suggest people look into it. But now, do you have anything else to say, Ms. Rebecca?
I do, but I can hold it.
Well, Ms. Kathy,
you have a word.
Well, I did see where X-ray technicians made $88,000 a year. So then maybe that's with the overtime. But since they have, you know, a lot of people have left the medical field and, you know, pursue other areas, they really have a need for all of these positions in the medical field. So, yeah, I saw $88,000 for X-ray technician. I was like, do I really want to go back?
Yes, yes, because I'm with you.
Look, I want to.
But listen, all you have to look at it this way. A pooper will be 1 year old
uh-huh.
next month.
Uh-huh.
Well, he'll be three when you finish.
Okay.
All right.
I'll be almost I ain't thinking about Cooper's age. I'm thinking about my age.
I'm just saying time moves so fast. But you know what?
It
while
does.
We're at it,
it does.
Miss Kathy, did you want to talk about some of the computer analyst salary ranges?
Okay, let me see. Well, okay. So, like finance and insurance, computer
well,
systems,
you know,
and
finance and insurance is—that's another business that is on the move. But that's a business that a person has to take a minimum of 20 class time hours and get a license, study and get a license with the state of Michigan. And they have to pass that 10%. But we also had here, and we have information on that if anybody's interested, but we also have here the computer system analyst. You want to talk about that, Ms. Kathy, or you want me to talk about it?
Yeah, I mean, they have the management of companies and enterprises, so you get in the management. You could clear over 100,000, 100,340. So information, is that information for information computer systems? 97,230. And I know Ms. Freeman Keeler was trying to talk her son into going into the information computer information systems, and I think she wanted to just cluck him upside the head.
We hope he's listening, Ms. Kathy.
Huh?
We hope he's listening.
Yeah. Let him know, because he likes to make money. But he don't realize how his value, you know. And so 97, that's almost $100,000. Let him know, Ms. Freeman, that he can make $100,000 just being a computer system information technician. He could, just keep that. He'll get.
Wait a minute. Now, you know, I'm thinking I might be wrong because we have some technical people out here in the audience. But the information computer system person is not upper management to 97. So that doesn't include their overtime, huh?
Right. Yeah.
Strong
make
possibility.
A whole bunch of money. And he could start his own business. Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so working with the government, you could make $80,000. And I don't know what exactly if these are the, you know, for what time and year these wages are. It might be more because of, you know, demand. The demand. So you could almost demand your pay these days. Because they need these, you know, they need people, and they don't have a lot of people. A lot of people are not going to school. They're not getting trained. A lot of them locked up, you know, all kind of reasons. So, and it's jobs out here. So keep at them, you know, parents. Look at some of these jobs that's on here, some of these careers on here. And just start talking to your youth about them right now. Let them know what they could be making and what they could do with their life with making this kind of money, that they can have a good life, a good lifestyle. Go ahead, Miss Jackie.
You know what? And I'm so glad that you are saying that, because time moves fast. And you have to look at it. What do I want to sacrifice in order to be in that position to be self-sufficient, that I don't have to depend on somebody to make a decision for me? Now, that's very important, Deborah. We all travel in this vehicle of life. Some of us travel in a different type of vehicle. And some of us travel in a putt-putt throughout life. So if you want a putt-putt lifestyle, do nothing. If you want to mm-hmm. have the lifestyle that you're accustomed to, then you mm-hmm. have to put yourself in that position because you have been exposed to this by your parents mm-hmm. of a better lifestyle. And so each generation, they say, I know my parents used to say, we want your generation to do better than our generation did.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we want with ours. We want their generation to be better than our generation. So listening audience, I don't care what your age is. It's some of these things, and I'm seriously thinking about maybe doing the drone stuff myself. Okay? Because mm-hmm. age is only a number. And when mm-hmm. and when you leave, you can't take that number with you. It's gone. Okay?
Yeah, I'm going to forget about the number. Right.
So
right.
Anyway, since then we did that, and so now, what do you see? You see a front-end developer. They're making good money. And all of
yeah.
these are computer terms, and I'm
yeah.
just learning these terms, but they all
mm-hmm.
deal with the computer. A front-end developer, I think that was $92,147, averaging $43.03 an hour. Now, this one here,
mm-hmm.
the next one, remember I told Mr. Jacob about the Java developer?
Mm-hmm.
Starting out at $101,000.
Wow. $44.3 per hour. Mm-hmm.
And you look at the senior Java developer. And the Java Developer 4, they even takes it
mm-hmm.
higher. They're like 133 and one is 138
mm.
a year. So they're not coming home dirty.
Mm-hmm.
But they must be able to possess those soft skills.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we need to call soft skills in everything we do.
Mhm.
You know,
yeah.
we work together on the show. We need soft skills. We have soft
mm-hmm.
skills because
yes.
one, because we were raised to respect each other.
That's right. We were taught. Mm-hmm.
Genius. They, you know, they didn't mm-hmm. realize it, but they really instilled a lot into us.
Mhm.
Okay, Miss mm-hmm. Kathy. You got some more over here. What you think?
Okay. Let me see. Software engineer, network security engineer. Let me see. What is the salary? So like $156,000 per year.
Wow.
U.S. $120,000 per year, $769 per hour. Yeah, entry-level position started $99,000, wow, per year. That's a good living. That's a good living. If you start announcing those numbers around the house, you know, and just let them get used to them kind of numbers, they won't want no numbers lower than that. they'll be trying to go for the best. They'll be like, well, is it anything higher than that? Yeah. You let them know you don't want nothing less than
$100,000
a year, honey.
But these jobs are entry level. Am I correct?
Entry level.
These are
yes.
entry level jobs.
Entry level positions start at $99,954 per year. Yeah. While most experienced workers make up to $156,309 per year, they can go and live wherever they want to live. They could buy whatever they want to buy. And if you tell them right now, baby, you could buy whatever you want to buy. You just go to school, get you some training, and look how much you can make.
Mm-hmm.
And just take some time out You know, take 4 years of your life and be dedicated. Settle down. Be dedicated. Pay attention. Be selfish if that's what you have to be to get what you need to make them figures. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a very good point, Ms. Kathy.
Yeah, we have to tell them. We have to tell them and get them used to it. We have to.
It was something, I wrote it down yesterday, that my coach had said, get a basket, a trash basket, and put in the basket everything that's causing you to not to reach. If you want to go to school, what causes you not to get up in the morning? If it's going to bed late, put that in the trash basket and go to bed a little earlier. If not studying, what prevents you from not studying? Well, say, well, between this time and this time, this is, I'm dedicating that to go to school, and I'm dedicating these hours to study. Now, after that, we can do what we have to do. It's amazing. I like that.
Yeah, we have to use all that we can. Whatever somebody has, we have to use it. If they don't have a vision, give them a vision.
That's it.
And it's just getting them used to a lifestyle, getting used to knowing that they have to take care of themselves one day. If we don't tell them nothing, if we tell them just totally nothing, we're going to have what we have right now because we haven't been telling them nothing. And they don't have any vision, any thought, they don't have any idea of what they're supposed to do. And they're angry. They are angry. They're angry at their parents. I saw and witnessed it the other day that these kids are angry at their parents because they didn't give them anything to think about. So they're thinking for themselves. So they think, I'm going to get a gun. That's all I know. Ain't nobody told me to do nothing. They wanted to get, can I go home with you?
Well, you know, Ms. Kathy, we were discussing this earlier. You know, and I said that I remember when I had mentors. Friday night, I wanted to be out partying with everybody else. But those old sisters said, called on the phone, I expect you to be here, this is your schedule for Friday, this is your schedule for Saturday, Sunday is the only day that we are clear, we're going to church, but after church is over, we have a dinner to be at such and such a time. They didn't give me time to say, I'll think about it if I can come. I couldn't make it because I went out with the girls. No, those mentors made the decision for you. The same way you made the decision for Jacob to be on this show. You didn't give him time to say, I don't know. No, you made the decision for him because you knew what he needed. And when we all rallied around him, he got those grades up. Because it takes a village. Okay?
Yes, it does.
Over and over saying the same thing. They kind of block you out. But then here comes somebody else that they respect and they trust. And they tell them the same thing in a different voice and a different tone, and here they go again. But guess what? I don't care how you got there, you got it done.
And that's what you are doing. And they want us to care about what they're doing. They want us to care about their education and their grades and things like that. They want us to care. Nephew, I think he's in the third grade. Hats off to you, Jaden Johnson. Got all A's. He is so serious about his schoolwork. He said he wants to be an engineer and he wants to play professional basketball. you know. He said he wants to be an engineer. He got, and he always get all A's. He got two brothers, and they get good grades too. But they got their parents there to support them in all that they do. Hats off to you, Jaden Johnson. You're the best. Yeah.
And hats off to the parents that's there.
Because
when you invest in those kids, and I, you know, I remember as Jacob Walsh, it was his job. And people said, how did the boy have so much money? He's so spoiled. No, he worked hard for it. Up until his mother passed, he was a 4.0 student since nursery school.
Wow.
We invested in him.
That's an investment.
The community came together. The men that was in, that's in his life, the pastors that's in his life, that came together. And start pulling him together, state representative, jump back. He had been in his life way before he was a state representative. Jacob was taking his report card, putting it in his mailbox, every report card. Okay? He would take his report card and put it in the mailbox at the church. He was little. But these men invested in him.
Got him used to that lifestyle.
Invested in him.
Okay,
so you know, now we have, hey, we got Cat's Kids.
If it's not Cat taking
him to school, it's that other young lady. What's her name?
Makila.
Keela. If you have to do an appointment, Keela, she steps in and gets him to school and back home.
That's a village. And we're going to get back to that.
That's right. That's right. And when you put in those toes to the fire, and I thought about, and I know Pastor O has to come on, but I thought about my sister-in-law, K-1, when she talked about, and some of the stuff she talked about, I forgot. But I always put the toes to the fire. But I don't care how hard I would push her, she would win every time.
Wow.
I call her G.I.J. Because she would win every time. And she lived that life, okay? But you know what? Kids don't forget. And it made me feel good, some of the stuff that I had forgot, okay? But I know Pastor O has to come, and we just taking this on. Miss Rebecca had something else she wanted to talk about, and we want to hear from her. I'm
going
to put myself on mute.
Love you all.
Okay, thanks. Hey, Miss Rebecca, you still there? You still with us? We are ready to hear from you. Okay, let me make sure. Okay, she probably went to help. Okay, so listen, this was some good stuff today. It was really good. Parents, friends, neighbors, community, Just think about this, and think about all these careers that we named: mobile developer, data scientist, engineer, chief executive, clinical lab, senior scientist, CEOs, and the skills, the what do you call it, the skilled trades. If you know that your little one or your youth is not, you know, that good with going to college, they got the skilled trades. We need plumbers. We need electricians. We need heating and cooling. We need people to build. It's just so much to be done out there. The hospitals are a big industry, and it's just so many jobs and so many careers in the no wonder she couldn't hear. Hey, Rebecca, I'm sorry. There's so many jobs in the medical field that it's endless. It's endless, but we have to introduce these careers and these jobs to these young people so that they have a vision, so that they know that they're expected to do something for themselves in their life. You know, it's just a step. It's the way that they're supposed to go. They're little, and they're going to grow up. So when they grow up, we have to make sure that they're prepared. Ms. Rebecca?
Here I am. I've been trying to say something.
I'm sorry. I thought you were
okay. It's okay. I just want to add, and this has been a mm-hmm. wonderful show, first of all, and mm-hmm. I'm happy that we're mm-hmm. talking about this. And I just want to say that AI can help you on your job mm-hmm. because it mm-hmm. can explain any process. So if you need to know how to open a website, and you could tell ChatGPT, tell me all the steps. And if you're stuck on one step that maybe doesn't make sense, you can tell it to expound on that step. And also, it'll teach you languages you can learn from AI. And that's all I want to say for now, and I will say on about AI in the future. Whenever we're talking on the Bring Back the Family.
Yeah, it's such a big thing, and it just encompasses everything about working and the future and jobs, and it brings out a lot of important things that we need to know and that we need to tell, that we can't keep to ourselves, and we just really need to tell it all. We do, and this can go on and on and on. I just want to keep talking about it because it's just so much to know, and it's just really encouraging. It gets me excited. So, Pastor O, let me see. You ready to come on? And I just got an idea. So if this is just ideal, if you want to, because we're saying block by block, do something on your block for your youth. Look what can happen. This is a good idea right here. It's good to me. So I hope it be good to you guys. So set up a career fair on your block. Set up a career fair and just have all the different careers out there for the youth so that they can see what they can do and what they can become and how much money they can make and have the lifestyle they can live and the things that they could get if they just take some time and aside and dedicate themselves to being to those careers. But if we do that now while they're little and let them know what's expected of them, you're going to pick one of these careers in this career fair. You're going to see, and then make them write a book report or something about it. You know, we got to start helping them with their writing and their reading, because like they've been talking about, that writing will take you to endless places if you know how to write, okay? So that's one thing that we could do on our block, is just set up a career fair and have something for the parents, have some for the kids, some information for the parents that to let them know that they have to keep these kids busy, some resources that they can go and get help from, that they could take their kids, and if they got dance, if they got basketball, football, they got tutoring, if they got classes that they could take to increase their learning. Just resources. Bring out a lot of resources to give them something to let them know this is their job and this is what they're supposed to do to help their kids make it. Or else they're going to be taken care of the rest
awesome
of their life.
Idea.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Bring out the armed forces for the ones that might not have a vision or don't want to go to school. bring the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines all out on your street. Bring the nurses, bring the doctors, bring the, you know, all the skilled trades, and just block off your street. You know, get permission or don't get permission like I do. Just block it off and have your little affair going on. Yeah,
I like your style, Sister Kathy.
Yeah, let your neighbors know what's going on. You know, city ain't got time for us. They don't know what we're doing over here. And so you just do your thing and have some food. Rambalo said, always feed the people. Have some food and, you know, bring all the careers out. I just think that would be great. Okay, so, hey, do it and then come on back to bring back the family and let us know how it went. Try it out.
Whew. Yes, the youth needs to know what the options are.
They do. It's them. They. It's their turn. We had our turn. It's their turn now. It's their turn. And so we got to communicate with each other, with the parents. We got to get back together as parents, as neighbors and all that, and talk to each other and let them know what it is that we need to do for our kids so that we won't be victims of not giving them what they need. Paso.
Good evening.
Out. Hey.
I'm black and I'm proud. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm awesome.
You know it, right?
Yes, sir. Oh. This is the dynamic, awesome pastor. Oh, our leader is Shepherd, man. He's just so knowledgeable. Let us have it.
How is everybody doing this evening? So good to hear from Jackie, Rebecca, and yourself, and from Jacob.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was awesome. Everything is awesome. You know, the careers, talking about how much they pay and how to get into those. And that's good. But what I want to focus on is what you talked about at the outset, about we don't bring our kids to church no more.
Mm-hmm.
And you've probably heard me talk about this before, where
mm-hmm.
God wants both of those to work together. I don't think we get that.
Mm-hmm.
I think we push hard at the secular education, but we don't push very hard at the Christian education. And that is the one that's going to make your education be turbocharged,
mm-hmm.
supercharged to really get you places. And so I was looking in the book of Malachi, and in chapter 4, right at verses 5 and 6, these are the last words that the Lord spoke to the children of Israel before they wouldn't hear an inspired word from God for 400 plus years. It wouldn't be until John the Baptist came, and this passage speaks to that. It says, imagine that God has had enough of Israel. They've been in captivity. They've come out of captivity. And they're right back doing the things that sent them into captivity. And we really want to get this. Okay? They had the education. They had the smarts. They had the know-how. They had the kingdom. They had it all. But they couldn't keep the Lord in the right place. And so they started to suffer. Listen to what the word says, Malachi chapter 4, verse 5 and 6. It says, look, I'm sending you a prophet, the prophet Elijah, before the great and dreadful day of the Lord arrives. His preaching will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to the fathers. Otherwise, I will come and strike the land with a curse. Lord bless his word. It's already blessed. May we get it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what's happening here is, long story short, the prophet Elijah he is talking about is John the Baptist. And the great and dreadful day of the Lord he's talking about could be, you know, for them, it could have been Christmas. That's the day of the Lord. Could have been Easter. That's the day of the Lord. Could have been the rapture, that's the day of the Lord. Okay, it could be the second coming of Christ. That's the day of the Lord. But there's a warning that the Lord wants to go out to precede the day of the Lord. Okay, before the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Most scholars believe that's talking about the millennial reign. Okay,
mm-hmm.
But it's also dreadful if we get raptured out. But that's really not what he's focusing on. What he's focusing on is what we need to do before that day. And like John the Baptist, the church has become those who go out and do what John the Baptist did. He says he's making a way for the Lord. Okay? In other words, he's getting the people prepared to receive Jesus in his first coming, when he's a son is given, right? A child is born. Okay? So John the Baptist is announcing that day, getting the people ready for that. And he says here that he'll turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers. That tells you there was a breakdown in the family. Not only in the family of God, that they had turned away from him as father, because if you read chapter 1, he'll say, if I'm a father, right, if I'm a great king, if I'm a father, then where's the honor, where's the respect due me? So in the big picture, we have walked away from God, okay, as our Father in heaven. In this earthly picture, in this imagery here, it's the fathers and children somehow have lost their relationship. And that has resulted in a breakdown of the family. And if you look in the garden, how did the devil tear this thing up in the first place? He tore up the family. He came in and disintegrated it, Adam and Eve. And how did he mess up the family after the garden? They made it up with God. God showed them how to bring them offerings. We see his kids bringing offerings, and here's the devil again. Break down the family. He split it in two. And you'll see that track all the way through the Bible until you get to the children of Israel. It is the same thing. He has become their father. They have become his children, but they have become estranged from him. Now, what happens to us when we become estranged from God? Well, if we're the lost sheep, then we're in a really bad situation because we cannot defend ourselves. We can't find food. We don't even know where water is in there. We're not real bright. We'll walk right up to a lion and say, can you help me? Okay, so we're in a really bad situation. We need the Savior to come and pick us up because we don't know how to get back from where we came. So he has to put us on his shoulders and carry us back. If we're that lost coin in the house, he can come and find us because we're lost and have no clue how to get back. And so he has to search for us. And if we want to be valuable again, then he has to restore us to the rest of the coins, and now our value is increased, and we're useful again. A lost dollar is no use to you or anybody, right? It only works when you spend it. So the prodigal son, he strayed away. If he strayed away, if he has a foundation, okay, train up a child in the way they should go, and they won't depart from it. He can remember from whence he came, and he knows how to get back, and he goes back. In all three of those cases, restoration happened, okay? Today, we are estranged from the devil has come in and torn the family apart. Now we have our own versions of families. You can have two men, and they go adopt a baby. They're a family. You can have two women. They go adopt a baby. They're a family. Okay? We're calling anything we want to family. But God created family in the beginning. It was Adam and Eve. They got married. Then they started having kids. They were supposed to train those children, teach those children to know who he is. Adam and Eve did a pretty good job, too. If you look at the majority of a lot of their kids, they learned, they got it. And you see them in Acts chapter 5, and one of his kids, one of his descendants from the seventh generation, Noah, actually builds a boat and saves all of us today. But when we turn away from God, or children and parents, that relationship breaks down, especially the fathers. Notice it says here, he'll turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. And the hearts of the children to the fathers, not the mothers. And when you read Ephesians chapter 6, he says, fathers, teach your children, train them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord, in how to reverence God and live according to his word. So fathers have abdicated their position. And it's the same thing that tricked the devil pulled in the garden. He messed up God's alignment. When you read 1 Corinthians chapter 11 over there, it's just talking about God's alignment. It is not talking about women being less than. But it's talking about the man in his place, the woman in her place. Those two come together, affect the will of God on earth. Right? In the beginning, it would be Adam who took the lead in the teaching and the training. And he became the head of the family. But like I say, nowadays, we're calling anything family. We no longer go by what God calls family. We call it family. And once the devil caused Adam and Eve to become misaligned with God, well, we see what happened in the garden. They were no match for him. They fell. Only God could bring them back together, but they had to come back to him. Just like God told Cain when he was about to screw it all up. God told Cain, look, if you do right, won't you be accepted? When God said that, he was telling Cain, you can do right. That maybe Cain brought offerings before and they were right. He was accepted. But somewhere along the way, the relationship started to slip. You know how folks do. They go to church a lot, then they don't go so much, then you never ever see them in church. That's what's happening to us today. There's been a breakdown in the family. We're not trying to fix it. We're just satisfied with what it is, and we're just running with whatever. And see, that cannot stand when Satan comes. Why? Because that is not God's plan. That's not his purpose for us. And so he says he's going to send John the Baptist, somebody like he's going to send, bring back the family, and bring back the family's whole mission is going to be to turn the hearts to the of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers and restore that relationship. And see, we talk a lot about the children, and we should, because I believe the children are our future, and that ain't just a song, that is fact, okay? But we need to talk about these people who got these children, because we need to fix them too. If you can fix them, then you fix them. When Tony Evans' father got saved, right, when Joel Osteen's father got saved, the rest of the family got fixed. So we need to get those them too, because the children are our future, but those parents, those children's future are in those parents' hands. And so we have to bring back the family. Before we can get this thing right, we have to bring back the family. If we want this thing to be, if we want our children to be successful, we got to bring them back to Jesus. They don't have to become Bible scholars, deacons, pastors, and Bible teachers. They just need to know Jesus, have a strong footing in Jesus like Joseph did. Joseph did not go off and become a prophet. He didn't become a pastor. He didn't become any of that. He became prime minister of a country, but he had a strong foundation, and he had that he had that family. Even though his family was kind of dysfunctional, the Lord got that thing together. And once that family was restored, I mean, go read about it. Read about Joseph's life. Start in Genesis 37 and go all the way to 50. Read about his life. He had a strong family. Okay, now his brothers and sisters kind of dysfunctional a lot, right? But in the end, God brought that family. He turned the hearts of the fathers back to the children and the children back to their father. They all got back together. They started singing Kumbaya, and everything was wonderful. So bring back the family, to me, is the prophet Elijah before the great and dreadful day of the Lord arise. I've said this before, and it is so true, and I believe it with all of my heart. Kathy, Jesus used you to raise this up to be that voice of one crying in the wilderness, bring back the family. That is the key to the success of this country, or to the city, to the county, to the state, to this country, to the world. And we need to see that. Because those coming behind us, and we say it all the time, are not like us. And if we don't do something about them today, you better believe they're going to have to eat, have clothes, wear shoes, have somewhere to sleep, have something to drink, okay? And they're going to look to you to pay for that, but they ain't going to ask you for the money, okay? So if we don't want to become victims of not helping our youth today, then we should just turn. Let this bring back the family, be what John the Baptist was to Israel. Come back to the Lord. The Lord haven't left the people. People have left him. They've left him. God never left Adam and Eve. They left him. God never left Cain. They left him. Okay? The Lord never left the people of this whole world. They left him. But Noah and his family didn't. Noah brought back the family. And he saved his whole family. Because he listened to God. But see, it wasn't Bible skills that taught him how to build a boat. Okay? Those are like secular skills, what we've been talking about. But it was his relationship with God that blessed him to make that a success, which saved those eight folks' lives and all those animals. And here we are today, bringing back the family. So when I look at this passage, I think about bring back the family. And to me, it's just, and when I look at John the Baptist walking around Israel, trying to tell them that the kingdom of heaven is near. And of course, they looked at him like he was crazy. They thought, why is this man running around here every day talking about the kingdom of heaven is here? Prepare the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. That is because, Kathy, this thing is almost over. And this bring back the family is God's last ditch effort in this area where he's working with you to make that happen before Jesus come back and rapture the church out of here. This is people's last chance, but they don't know that. So I hope you never get discouraged. I hope you, and what encourages me is that a lot of folks listen after the show is over for some reason. They'll listen Monday. They'll listen Wednesday or Thursday. I'm like, why you can't listen Friday when it's happening? You know, but that's they're hearing it. And you know, people are funny because our numbers are growing kind of quicker than they used to, a lot quicker. And so I know bring back the family after. I can't even figure it out no more. So I know it's not just running for Christ. So, and the only other thing is you and Richard, so that has to be the explanation. So keep this going because this thing is almost over. And I love it how you get these young folks to come on here and talk to these young folks. They are where they're going, and they can show them the way. And there's awesome people like Jacob, young men like Jacob want to get involved in helping. They've learned, they've gotten the experience. And I love how Jackie conducted that interview. I was like, go ahead, Jackie Araldo. Go ahead. She was interviewing. I mean, she was radioing, you know. Ooh, and for our listeners out there.
Got the best team, Pastor.
For our radio listeners out there, I just want you to know Jackie Vandegrift, awesome, her and Rebecca Johnson.
We learned this from Miss Kathy, because a lot of times people don't realize that, you know, when Miss Kathy is not on the show, she's texting us, training us to make sure we include the audience, and so a lot of that you have to go back to Miss Kathy and under her leadership. But that's the part, Pastor O, of having that EQ, those soft skills that you can work with somebody and somebody can tell you how to do something.
Right. That's huge. If you cannot be told what to do, you better hurry up and open your own. Well, even then, you know, it's a funny thing you said that, being able to be told what to do. When I finally decided to open up GMO services back in 92, I was so happy when I left downtown and got to doing the business ass, and there was GMO lawn care at that time, but we had to switch that up because we was doing multiple things, and that was tied to just one thing, so we had to switch up to GMO services. But anyway, I was so happy, and I was just telling Jesus, you know, I don't have a boss. I work, and I am my own boss. Mm-hmm. Until I got home, and I felt funny because Jesus wasn't saying nothing. I'm like, you know, kind of quiet. You're like, well, what does GMO stand for? Gerald Marshall Overall? He said, no, God's my owner. See, because I was a horrible employee everywhere I worked, and now I thought that I didn't have any boss. I'm self-employed. I'm the boss. Turns out, no, Jesus is the boss. One-on-one now.
Mm-hmm.
No manager or supervisor in between us. It's one-on-one now. I immediately thought, well, how am I going to get away with all the crap I used to pull on my manager? But anyway, I also learned that not only would Jesus be my boss every day and be right there with me, whereas my manager would be stuck at the branch, he couldn't be with me all day. But Jesus can. And mm-hmm. and also, I noticed when I got customers, Jesus like, now that's one of your bosses. They get to tell you what to do because you work for them. I'm like, well, Jesus, wait a minute. We got up to 500 customers, and I'm like, well, Lord, you mean I have 500 bosses? No, I used to just have one, a manager, right? Now I have 500 bosses. But I guess I was a little hard at learning how to be told what to do. So he gave me a whole lot of training, 25 years of training to learn how to be told what to do. But I learned, and then he made me a pastor. I guess if you can't be told what to do, there's no way you're going to survive as a pastor. So, that hit hard when he said, talked about, and that's a skill. That's something that you have to have. You called it a soft what?
Soft skill.
A soft skill, right. And it is. If you're not... If you can't be told what to do in this world, you're not going to make it very far. Unless you just, you know, somehow become, but even if you do become independently wealthy, you're still going to be surrounded with people telling you what to do with your money or you'll lose it.
Right.
So it never goes away. Got to be pliable. Got to have that soft skill. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But there's so many jobs out here. There are 11 million unfilled, 11 million plus unfilled positions in America today. And 4.5 million people dropped out of the job market from the pandemic. These were people who didn't really have to work, but they were working for whatever. Okay, well, when it got dangerous to work, they decided, I don't need to do that. And then you lost 1.5 million to the pandemic. So that's about 6 million people out of the job market. And you have 11 million jobs to fill. And on our church website, it is so many jobs. And we just keep getting them. Jonathan gives them, Avetris, you know, we just keep getting them. And it's one company wanted to be near the top of the list. And they didn't do nothing but make pallets, but they paid $60,000 a year to start.
Mm.
And all they do is make those pallets that they put everything on.
Wow. I'm going over there tomorrow.
Every time them jobs come up, my wife be talking about, see, you could go back to work. Like,
right.
No, you can go back to work.
Right.
I don't need another job.
I need three more jobs.
Okay. I thought you was Jamaican.
Can somebody work from home?
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, so hey. Okay, well, that is a lot. That's good. Well, yeah, it's amazing. You know, it all relates back to God's word in that Bible. Everything that we go through, everything that we talked about is basically, it's connected. And that's amazing to me. Yeah. Yeah. So we need, like you said, we need the secular and we need the Christian. They go hand in hand. Yeah.
Right. That way you can make what work, you can make a job. Like, for instance, I was a mechanic, right? And then there were four other mechanics at the same shop. All of us were good at what we did, right? But Jesus made me blow up. Well, whereas they would work on maybe 2, 3 to 4 cars a day, I was doing 11. Okay, where they got one raise a year, I got 7.
Mm.
So you need Jesus in there. Your skill's going to take you there, all right? But it's stuff like there was, like, Joseph couldn't interpret dreams, right? He could run Potiphar's house and manage that because his father taught him how to manage things at home. So he knew how to manage a household. And his father, if we pay attention, was rich. So Joseph knew how to manage large things, right? All those herds, even supervise over his brothers. So when he gets to Potiphar's house, he's a manager, so he just does at Potiphar's house what he was raised to do. But then God got involved because he was so faithful to the Lord. The Lord made him the number one steward in Potiphar's house. Potiphar said stuff like this. He didn't even know what he had or owned. He had to depend on Joseph to tell him. Joseph knew, but Potiphar didn't. That's how much he trusted Joseph. Joseph goes to jail, right, because Potiphar's wife tried to get hot with him. But he didn't want to get hot with her, so she said he raped her. So he got locked up. He in jail for 13 years. But then God shows up because Joseph didn't hate on the Lord for letting, because he's innocent and in jail. Well, now he running the jail. Okay? So the skills were there because that's running the jail. You assistant warden, right? Right? That's a skill. That's not something you do in church. They don't have assistant wardens in church. Okay? But God got involved and did what Joseph couldn't do when the cupbearer and the beggar got locked up because Pharaoh thought, one of y'all stole something of mine. You going to jail till I figure it out. So anyway, they locked up. What does Joseph get from God? The ability to interpret dreams. Only God can do that. And so whereas Joseph was skilled enough to run the jail, he couldn't interpret no dreams. And so God gave him what he didn't have. And the next thing, now he's prime minister. And Pharaoh has had some dreams. So Joseph interprets Pharaoh's dreams, and he becomes prime minister. But Egypt's going under because it's facing 7 years of a famine. Okay, 7 good years, 7 bad years. God gives Joseph a plan, and he's 30 years old. God gave him a plan to save Egypt. The day is saved. His family is saved. Everybody is saved. It's just awesome. So you need both of those working together.
Yeah.
And when you get them both working together, God can take you some places. He'll supercharge your stuff. And no matter who you are or what you are, like Paul said, I am who I am by the grace of God. Now, he did sit at the feet of Gamaliel, and you read chapter 3 of Philippians. He had a resume, okay, but he didn't depend on that. He depended on what the Lord could do with what he knew. And because of him being a Roman citizen, God gave him a chance to use that position twice to get him out of crap. Mm. So, you know, that's, yeah. You're going to have me preaching all night.
That's a real good story. Hey,
I
well,
got to preach in the morning.
Invite them out Sunday. Invite them for tomorrow's service. Let them know what's going on so they could continue to hear a good sermon on tomorrow and Sunday.
Good. I'll be preaching tomorrow, but tune in tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. Same place that you are right now. Same phone number, same login, same thing. Okay. I think that's where the number's coming from, people who log in that don't call in because you can't see them.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock, we have our Saturday church school. Our teachers, the assistant pastor, Janice Tate, awesome teacher,
mm-hmm.
awesome Bible teacher,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then at 10 o'clock, we have our worship service, and I'll be preaching from 1 Corinthians chapter 7. I've been preaching through the epistles in the Bible, and we've come to the book of Corinthians. We've been through Galatians and James, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, and now we're at 1 Corinthians, and we'll be in 7. So tune in tomorrow, 9 o'clock for the worship, Sunday school, church school, and 10 o'clock for the worship service. And Sunday, our own associate pastor, Sarah Tate McClendon, will be preaching in our 10 o'clock, in-person 10 o'clock worship service. At the school. Of course, we do have Sunday school. That starts at 9 o'clock. Again, taught by Assistant Pastor Janice Tate. And then
mm-hmm.
worship service starts at 10 o'clock. And Associate Pastor Sarah Tate will be bringing the word. All righty.
That's at the River Ridge High School.
Yeah.
Right.
River Ridge High School, yeah. LGI Auditorium. Go to our church website, rfcm.org. Click on directions, and you are there.
All right. Govern yourself accordingly. Okay. Thank you, Pastor.
All right. I used to love to say that.
Yeah. All right. So I just want to thank everybody for tuning in all over the world. Thank you, King Jacob Rip Ron, for your being the host, our youth host today, and Sister Jackie Vandegrift. Thank you. Thank you, Sister Rebecca Johnson. And a special thanks to our anchor man, awesome Pastor O. Thank you, thank you, thank you. 11 million jobs to fill. Wow. So get your youth ready for these jobs, these careers, these skilled trades. Get them ready. 11 million jobs to fill. And they're going to be there a while. So get them ready. It's not too late. Get started now. With letting them know what they can do. Have a career fair on your block or 5 blocks, whichever. Just do it. That would be a good way to just start your Bring Back the Family block by block village with the kids, okay? So that's it. We have work to do. Thank you, everybody. We'll see you next week. Next week we're supposed to have 90 seconds. Next week we're supposed to have Dr. Callison from the eCourse Public Schools, the superintendent for next week and next Friday. So tune in. Gonna give us some educational information, and I'm sure that's gonna be wonderful. Okay, we have a lot of work to do. Let's do it, y'all.